forgotten his name now. We're going to read it in a second anyway, so that's all right. There was a king, and he was the king of Assyria. And he was coming up to make war against Jerusalem and against God's people. Now, the king of Israel at the time, his name was Hezekiah. The king of Judah, sorry, at the time, his name was Hezekiah. Okay, and this guy was trying to defend his kingdom against a massive attack. The forces that this guy had at his command were huge. So he had a massive problem. This guy was coming against him, and he was saying, I have every intention of destroying you, and you don't stand a chance. And we're going to read about that right now. But just before we do, I just want to tell you what we're going to be talking about. We're just going to be talking about a pattern or a blueprint, if you will, for praying when you have a seemingly insurmountable problem. And what I mean by that is that something seems like a giant mountain in front of you that is about to crush you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. How do we go about addressing that? And there's a perfect blueprint that we'll see in the way Hezekiah handles the situation, in the way we should approach God with our problems, as our shepherd, as our savior, as our God. Okay, let's start reading, and we'll read for a bit. So try to keep up with what's happening in the story. Don't zone out when you hear weird names. You will hear weird names. Just warning you in advance. Don't zone out, okay? So can we go up a little bit? Okay. Now, Sennacherib, there you go. Weird name number one. Received a report that Tahaka, the king of Cush, was marching out to fight against him. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah with this word. Okay, so Sennacherib was the king. Say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says, Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the kings of Assyria. Surely you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my predecessors deliver them? The gods of Gosan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Assar? Where is the king of Hamath, or the king of Arpad? Where are the kings of Leah, Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. So here's the king coming up and saying, basically, here are a string of my victories. I've conquered all these countries. I've destroyed them. Every time I've approached them, I gave them a chance to surrender. They didn't take it. Instead, they decided to pray to their God to save them. And this king is listing to Hezekiah the outcomes of every single one of those battles, line by line. He's saying, I fought against this country, and they prayed to their gods. Did he save them? No. Let's move on. Next country. I destroyed them. No one came to their help. They prayed. They were praying all day until I invaded the city walls and killed every single one inside. No one was saved. What makes you think that your God is any different from all these nations that I've just destroyed? You know what? I've conquered all of them. I've given you your chance. You didn't want to surrender. You didn't want to make peace. You know what? I'm going to destroy you. You're next. And there's nothing that you can do about it. So, we have a problem, don't we? We have a serious problem. We have the enemy coming up and saying, I'm going to destroy you. I've destroyed everybody else around you, and what makes you think that you or your God are any different or can stop me in any way, shape, or form? You can't. I'm coming for you. Problem, okay? That takes many different shapes and forms in our lives, whatever it might be, but it's a big problem that we don't know how to fix, and the force that's against us is much greater than the force that we at least feel is with us. I don't feel like I'm equipped to handle this. My army isn't even a tenth of the size of this guy's army. I can't protect myself against his attack. I don't know what I'm going to do. So we have a problem. So what happens in verse 14 there is Hezekiah gets this letter, okay? And straight away, it says, Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Okay? So he read it. As soon as he read it, he obviously recognized that there was a problem. So where did he go after that? And herein lies point number one. Okay? There are six steps to my magic formula. It's not a magic formula, but this is just the blueprint for prayer during a difficult time or during a big problem that you don't know how to face. Step one. do you go to, or question one rather, followed by step one, who do you go to when you recognize that there is some sort of problem or some sort of threat? Where do you go to first? It's question one. This happens with me all the time, and I do it subconsciously. I'll have a problem, and it's one that I can't solve. It's one that I have no control over, whether it's something to do with, you know, people at work, or something to do with a friend who's been speaking behind my back, like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, or whatever. Something I have no control over. And I feel like the odds are completely against me, and I don't know what to do about it. So most of the time, I'll sit down, and if I'm really brave, I might talk to my parents about it, or I might talk to my friends about it, or I might be like, I need to bounce it off somebody. So most of the time, just so they can feel my pain, just so they can understand what it is that I'm going through and just go there, pretty much. Because I know, and they know, that neither of us can solve it. So imagine Hezekiah, right? He sees this giant army coming up against him, and he knows that he has no forces to block this attack. It's like literally tenfold the army that's in front of him. Imagine he then takes this letter and goes, well, the king of Assyria just said he's going to destroy us. What are we going to do? And he takes this letter to the general of his army, and the general's like, there's no way we can beat him. Like, we've got 10 guys, he's got 100 guys. There's no way that we can beat him. We are in a pickle. Yep, we both agree on that one. And then they'll both look at each other and be like, pretty much, right? That's what happens. If there's a problem that I can't solve and I take it to a friend, it's mostly just so that I can get it off my chest and just so somebody understands how big a problem it is that I'm facing. I don't know, that just makes me feel better most of the time. Does it solve the problem? No, never solves the problem. It just helps me feel a little bit better, but it doesn't solve anything. We're here to solve problems tonight. We're not here to just feel better about it, because that's useless, because you're going to feel pretty bad once he invades, even if you felt good in the interim because you told the general. Makes no sense, okay? We want to go a step further than that. Where do you go and who do you go to? What's step one? How do you react when you first get the problem? How did Hezekiah react? Where are we? 14. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. So literally he had the letter in his hand, a representation of the problem in its most physical form, I guess, right? In its most poignant form. He just takes it and he's like, okay, here it is, Lord. Literally just puts it on the floor of the temple, bows down and says, here's my problem. I have a problem. Here it is. He doesn't go anywhere in between. He gets the letter. He reads it. Goes straight to God. Goes straight to the temple. There's no in-between place that he goes to. Doesn't talk to anybody else. And he spreads it out before God. The symbolism in that one is very powerful. He spreads it out before God. He lays it down. He says, Lord, this is what I'm facing. This is my problem. I don't know what to do about it. That's it. I think part of the reason when it's a problem like that, that he went to God first, is because he understood and he recognized that there was really no point in going to anybody else because nobody else could deal with it. So he's like, I'm going to cut out all the middlemen and I'm going to go straight to the person who can deal with it and tell him my problem, because that's how I'll get a result. There's no other way. So he skips everyone and goes straight to God and lays out his problem before God. Step one, when you recognize that there's a problem and when you recognize that you're not equipped to handle it, which is every problem in life really, because Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do. The fact that you're alive and breathing and sitting in this room is because God allows it. It's because God still has a purpose for your life. It's because God still needs you here. So to solve any problem, you need to be alive in the first place. To be alive in the first place, you need God's approval for that. Okay? Step one, we take it to God. Cut out the middleman if you know that they can't solve it. I'm not saying don't talk to your friends, but I'm saying let your first port of call be God, not your best friend. Your best friend has a role to play, and maybe God will answer you through your best friend. But come to God first. Don't look for the answer from your best friend first. Come to God first. Now, the second thing, what happens as we go down the story? It's really hot. Wow. Okay. Verse 15.
What does he say? Listen to the pattern of his prayer. Listen to what he's actually saying to God. How he's dealing with God in the problem.
And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth.
So he spreads out the letter before God, and the first things he says, you're God. You're the king. All the kingdoms of the earth are yours. You're the king. I have nothing to do with this. In fact, he is the king. Hezekiah is the king, right? Hezekiah is the person in the highest authority, the person who is most able to make a decision in fighting this problem, right? He's the one who's supposed to be leading. But the first thing he does, the first thing he says, right, is he comes to God and he lays down his leadership and he says, no, you're the king, you're God. You're the one in control of the situation, not me. That wasn't in my bullet points, but that's important to say. Not me. You have to step down from making yourself the decision maker and saying, no, God, you're the one who has the wheel on this, not me. You're the one who has to lead it. I can't navigate myself out of this one. This one is yours. What I did write down in my bullet points was that you remind God of who he is and you remind yourself of who God is in your situation, in your problem. Listen to what he says. Lord, the God of Israel, I'm not the king of Israel. You're the king of Israel. You're the God of Israel. Enthroned. A king sits on a throne, enthroned between the cherubim. You alone are God. Then he takes it a step further. Over all the kingdoms of the earth. That includes my enemy. His domain, or what he thinks is his domain, is actually yours, Lord. It actually belongs to you. You are God. When you sit down before God and you remind him of who he is, and you remind yourself, more importantly, he doesn't need to be reminded of who he is, but you do. And you say, I know that you're God, and I know that you have the control. You will not believe what that does inside. Praise and worship was step one. Coming in and recognizing, step two. So first thing you say, after you make the decision to come to God first. Praise and worship was the first thing that he said. I know who you are. I'm not just coming to you as another person who I think can solve the problem. No, you're the only person who can solve the problem. And I'm here to praise you and to worship you for who you really are. The king. The one who has the control. Step two. What do you say when you first come to God? Do you go like, okay, here's the letter, Lord. Look at A, B, C, D, E. This is messed up. Please help. I need your help. Take a step back. Recognize whose presence you're standing in. At step two, you should already know that your problem's been solved because you've just handed it over to the king of the universe. You've just given it to the God of everything, to the most powerful being in existence. Like Emmy was saying to us, this isn't just our shepherd, this isn't just our friend or our savior or our king. This is God. The one who has absolute power. It's not negotiable with God. So once you've come and you've given it to God, at that point you should be able to step back. But there's more. There's more. What do we say? We begin by recognizing who God is, by praising him, by worshiping him. Okay. Step three. I really like this one. It's probably my favorite one. Step three. I'm not allowed to have favorite steps, but whatever. It is my way. Here we go. Verse 16. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. I'm really interested in the last line of verse 17. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings... No, the one before that, verse 16. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Now he's beginning to address what's actually in the letter, the actual details of the problem. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule who? Me. No. Step three. Make your problem God's problem.
your problem is not in fact your problem. Your problem is in fact now become your dad's problem, your shepherd's problem. If a sheep is being attacked by a wolf, it's the shepherd who runs down to protect the sheep. The sheep doesn't protect itself. Your problem has now become God's problem. And he wants you to make it his problem. Because when this king came out against Hezekiah, he wasn't coming out against Hezekiah or even the people of Judah and Israel. He was coming out against the God they represented. Listen to how many times he listed God in his threats. Where are the gods of this kingdom, or the gods of this kingdom, or the gods of this kingdom? I destroy gods. This is what I do. I'm a war machine that just goes around destroying gods. Who is your God? I'll take him down too. The accusation, the threat wasn't against Hezekiah. It was against God. It was directly against God. Not you. So, listen to the word Sennacherib is sent to ridicule the living God. And he makes a distinction here. He says, you're the living God. Every other god, he says it in the next verse coming up, was made of wood or stone fashioned by human hand. They have no ears to hear, no eyes to see, no mouth to speak, no answer you're going to get from them. It's a human thing. But you're the living God. You're the one who can actually act and defend himself and defend me. So Lord, my enemy's coming out against me, but really, he's actually coming out against you. Make your problem God's problem. Make your problem God's problem. And recognize that when the enemy comes to attack, he couldn't care less about you. He wants to get at God through you. Make your problem God's problem. What are we up to now? What step? Step four. Good, you're awake. Step four. Okay. Verse 18, they have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Here's step four. Lord, I need help. I need an answer to this problem, and I need to see that it's been answered. Why? Just so I can get out of a pickle. No. Wrong request. Middle part of verse 19. So that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. When I'm praying for God to step into my situation, I'm asking him to show himself in it. I'm asking him to do it for his name's sake, for his glory's sake, so that people will see and people will know who he is through me, through my problem, through my life. Whenever they saw Christ perform miracles, whenever they saw him go around and heal the sick or raise the dead or do any of these things, it says, and they saw it, and they glorified God. They knew who it reflected on. So the solution to your problem reflects on God. What have we done so far? As soon as we received the problem, we took it straight to God. We skipped the middle. We took it straight to God. Then we recognized who he was and we worshipped him and praised him as the living, mighty God who can actually do something about it. What did we do next? I'm not saying. I want to know what we did next. Brother Sheeps, do you have any ideas? No? No? What do we do next? It was my favorite step. John. Hurry up, bro. Maybe God's problem. Perfect. That was step three. Step four is ask for the solution so that God can be glorified. Because you've come to God, because you've worshipped, because you've made it his problem, the solution has to glorify him. The solution has to reflect him, not you. So when you ask for the solution, ask it for his glory's sake because it's his problem. So Lord, they've attacked me, I've called on you, and I've told the king,
that you're my refuge, that you're my hope. So what's going to happen now, Lord, is if he invades and he destroys me and my people, it's not actually going to be destroying me and my people. It's actually going to be destroying your name and your reputation, because I called on you and you didn't come through. You didn't save me. Your reputation of your people who you're supposed to protect is now in tatters. I'm asking you to save me for your name's sake and for your glory's sake, so that they know that you're the one who's protecting me, that you're the one who has my back, that you're the one who is real, not wood or stone or whatever other material men have made. Lord, do it for your sake. It's your problem. Do it for your sake. Step one, we cut out the middleman and we go straight to God. Step two, before we say the problem, we recognize who he is. Step three, we say the problem, and then we recognize that it's actually his problem. Step four, we ask for the solution so that his hand can be seen in. Step five.
Actually, we'll make five is a good round number. So make it five, not six.
Okay. Where are we now? Verse 19. Right. Now, verse 19. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are Lord, you alone, Lord our God. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. And then God goes on to say, I've got your back. You have no worries from this man. And the victory that happens after that is one of the most epic victories ever recorded in God's Word. And I encourage you to go into 2 Kings 19 and read it, and then the victory is in 20, or maybe 21. It is unbelievable. The way that they win the war is really just, they don't lift a finger to win it. And it's the most incredible thing, and it's exactly how God steps into our problem when we say, Lord, it's your problem. He solves it. You don't. So you don't lay a finger on it. He does it. It's his problem. Step five is actually in between the lines of the verses that we just read. Between the time when Hezekiah prayed that and between the time when, who was it, Isaiah? Who was the prophet? Isaiah. Between the time when Hezekiah prayed and between the time that Isaiah came and said, God is saying this to you, he had to do something. Wait. He had to wait. Step five, wait for the answer. Wait for the solution. Wait for the deliverance. But don't just wait and twiddle your thumbs and be afraid of what's going to happen. Is it really going to happen or not? No, wait in faith, which is what Hezekiah did. Now, the time frame is not given to us here. It didn't say, and 2 minutes later, Isaiah came down and is like, you're going to be all right, bro. That's not what happened. We don't know. The time frame could be a minute, could be 10 days, could be 50 years. But your job in the meantime is to wait, and to wait patiently, and to wait in faith, knowing that because you've given it to God, and because God is your father and your shepherd, he has heard. And it's in his hands now. And it's on him now, because it's his name that is at stake in your situation, not your own. This is what Hezekiah did. And this, I believe, to be the best blueprint for coming to God with a problem. Whatever the problem might be, and it doesn't, at the start I said it's something that is like overwhelming and you're going to get smashed with it and whatever. But in reality, it's any problem. Whatever it might be. Some problems are bigger than others. But you can always come to God in this way. Firstly, by recognizing that there is a problem and giving it to him. Laying it out before him. Secondly, by recognizing who he is in your situation. He's God. The living God. Thirdly, by stating your problem and saying, Lord, it's yours. It's in your hand. It's your problem.
What was the fourth one? No, wait, it was five. After this little prayer, so whoever knows it, you can come out and say it, and then we'll end in a word of prayer. Come on. If it's his name at stake, then when you ask for the answer, his glory is what should come through. You want to ask for his hand in your situation. You want to ask that that's what's seen at the end of it. Okay? Five. If you don't remember them, come back and listen to this again. Alright, well just ask. Ask me. There are five. Better yet, don't do any of that and go and read it for yourself, because that's what you're supposed to do in the first place. Alright? Read the story and read it to its end. Okay? Good? Alright, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are everything to us, Lord. You are our shepherd, our king, our best friend, our everlasting father. Any problem, big or small, Lord, you already see and you already know. You're just waiting for us, Lord, to come to you with it. And Lord, we recognize that you are God and you are God alone. And you know every problem, big or small, in every person's life here, Lord. But whatever that is, I pray that they'll come before you tonight, Lord. And that they'll lay it down before you, Lord, and that they will wait in faith for you to come through, Lord, because you're their Savior. You're their God. You're their King. You're their Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you don't just hear, but that you deliver, Lord. And that you are faithful to the end, Lord. Thank you so much, and we pray that you would step into every situation, Lord, and that you would give us a wonderful rest of the night. Thank you so much for this time. In your precious name, amen. Amen.